This is Alive with Joseph.
Amen. Let's get into scriptures quickly. We have so much ground to cover tonight. Let's get into scriptures. Genesis 1, verse 1. We continue with where we left it off 2 weeks ago. Words are life, part 2. Genesis 1, 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Take note of that sequence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When God created everything, the Bible says he created them in this order, the heaven and then the earth. He created the heaven and then the earth. He created the seen and the unseen world. The heaven representing the unseen world. The earth representing the seen world. And when you look at our time and our generation, you see that people are forever trying to understand that realm, the unseen realm. People are forever doing their best, learning more and more about that realm as we advance in life. People do their best to try to understand that realm, and that is why people get involved with all kinds of spiritual things, because they want to understand the unseen realm that God created. Now, we get to also discover that there is more also going on in that realm that can be seen with our optic eyes. So we live in an era where people believe also more in science, they believe more in data than they believe in the spirit realm. People believe more in science, they believe more in data than they believe in the realms of the spirit. Actually, there are a lot of people who are out there, some are even atheists, who tell you that, you know, there is no God, there's nothing like God and all of those things. And very few people actually pay attention to the realms of the spirit. And those who are paying attention, majority are going about it the wrong way. They get into witchcraft, they get into all kinds of diabolical things because they want to understand the unseen realm. So God created the unseen realm, and the Bible helps us to understand that that realm is the parent realm. That realm, the unseen realm, is the parent realm. What does that mean? The parent realm simply means it is unchanging. It is a realm that can change. The same way you and I cannot change our parents. No matter who you become on earth, your parents, you cannot change them. You can adopt parents, but you cannot change who your real parents are. So that realm is the parent realm. It is a realm that cannot change. And the Bible actually declares and says this to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. So the things that are in that realm do not change. And the Bible actually says they are eternal. The things that are in that realm that does not change, they are eternal. The things that are in that realm that doesn't change, they are eternal. So the Bible tells us that they are eternal. But the things which are seen, they are subject to change. No matter what it is, whatever it is that you can see, they are subject to change. That is why anything going on in your life right now that is not a good thing, one thing I want you to understand is, as long as it is not eternal, it is subject to change. You don't have a job right now, it is subject to change. Your marriage is going through a turmoil right now, it is subject to change. You're going through a challenge in your physical body, it is subject to change. Why? Because the only thing that cannot change is the thing that is internal. It is the things that can be seen, that cannot be seen. But anything that can be seen is eternal. I declare over you tonight, whatever it is that you're going through, I command under this anointing, it will change in the name of Jesus. I say it will change in the name of Jesus. So no matter how bad it is, no matter how horrible it is, no matter how long it has lingered, no matter how deep the situation is, that thing is subject to change as long as it is in the earth realm. As long as it is in the earth realm, it is subject to change. No matter how horrible it is, as long as it is in the earth realm, it is subject to change. And the Bible actually tells us that God created the earth realm, which is now the physical expression of the invincible heaven. The earth realm is a physical expression of the invincible heaven. Then God created Adam In his image, he created the earth, which is the physical expression of the invisible realm, which is heaven. He now created Adam in his image and in his likeness, which is now a physical expression of himself. Take note of this. Heaven, the earth was created as a physical expression of heaven, while man, Adam, was created as a physical expression of God on the earth. So we have a heaven which is perfect. We have a God who is a spirit, who is perfect. Then he created the earth, which is physical, then created a place that the Bible called Eden, which, you know, is actually paradise or heaven on earth. Then he put someone in that physical place and instructed the person to function like him. He created the earth, created a place called Eden, which is paradise. Then he created someone that is like him and instructed the person to function like him. And this man is to function and use words to create the same way God used words to create. God created Adam in his image, in his likeness. That is to say, Adam is to function the same way God functions. How does God function? God functions by creating. How does God create? He doesn't create with his physical hands, no. He creates with words. He creates with words. So he places Adam there and expects Adam to function the same way he functions. That is to say, God wanted Adam to be a replica of himself here on the planet earth. Now understand this, friends. When God uses words, he doesn't use words to communicate. He uses words to create. Words are not necessarily designed for communication. That is why those who cannot speak, they have sign language. Why? Because words are not necessarily, you know, a means of communication. Words are designed for creation. So God, when he uses words, he uses them to create. God never intended also the earth to operate apart from heaven. So we established that last 2 weeks, that when Adam ate from the tree God told him not to eat from, after that incident, that was when the earth declared independence from heaven. And now the whole world is flooded with the knowledge that flowed from the tree that Adam ate. Now understand also that the world is different from the earth. The word world is different from the earth. The word world is different from the earth. The earth is the place where the world system is. The earth is the place where the world system is. That is to say, the earth is different from the world. The world is systems that governs or that man have created to run the earth. But the earth is different from the world. The world is system. That is why the Bible says, for God so loved the world, not the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, not the earth. That is, he so loved the corrupt world and gave his only begotten son, that anyone that dares believe in his son will not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus is not just an answer for the believer. Jesus is the answer for the world. Jesus is the answer for the world. He is the answer to the systems. He is the answer to our thinking. He is the answer to the way we live. He is the answer to the fallen man who have lived from the tree, or who lives from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. This evening, rather. Are you understanding me tonight? So when the first Adam messed up, Jesus, the Bible calls him the second Adam, he was sent to fix what was messed up. Jesus came to restore what the first Adam has lost. Listen to what the psalmist actually says. The psalmist now says in Psalm 119 verse 18, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In the Bible, you must understand that, you know, the heaven, the way the heaven functions. The heaven functions and God expects the earth to function the way the heaven functions. That's why he said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your word is settled in heaven. If his word is settled in heaven, it ought to be settled on the earth. Listen, friends, the Bible is not a moral code. Neither is the Bible a religious book. Jesus did not die the bloodiest death ever so that he can institute a moral code. Jesus came to wash away our sins, and when he washed away our sins, he gave us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He gave us the keys of the kingdom. That is to say, he wants to now tell you and I how heaven operates, so that you and I can operate on earth how heaven operates. He wants to now tell us how heaven functions, so that you and I can function on the earth the way heaven functions. That is to say, when you look at when his disciples told him, asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. He said to them, pray like this: my kingdom come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth. As that's how you pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth. So understand that his will is his kingdom. His will is his kingdom. So how does his kingdom function? His kingdom cannot function outside of his will. So friends, that is why God wants you and I to understand how heaven functions. Because when we understand how heaven functions, we understand how what his will is. And when we understand what his will is, we're able to know that his kingdom is his will. And he wants the earth to function the way heaven functions. Do you know, friends, that the Bible is also not a code of conduct? It's not a book of code of conduct. Actually, the Bible also, when you look at it, the Bible is not a code of behavior. It's not a book for a code of behavior. The Bible is a compilation of 66 books, 66 keys, rather. Those books, each of those books are keys. The Bible is a compilation of 66 keys. That is why when you run through Genesis to Revelation, they are all saying the same thing. Even though they were all written hundreds and thousands of years apart from each other, but they all say the same thing. Why? Because the key is one. The key is Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Give the Lord your praise tonight. The key is Jesus. So the Bible is a book of 66 keys. When Jesus tells us that forgive that you may be forgiven, it is not a moral high bar. No. When Jesus says forgive that you may be forgiven, that is a key. In other words, when you turn it loose, it turns you loose. That is to say, it will not turn you loose until you turn it loose. When he says, forgive that you may be forgiven, it's not a moral high bar, it's a key. It's a key that Jesus is giving. That is to say, he is saying, you will be a captive as much as you hold other people captive through unforgiveness. You will be a captive. So when you forgive, you have applied a key that also releases you. Or else, when you hold other people captive through unforgiveness, you yourself will remain in captivity. So when he says forgive, it is not to give you a moral high bar. No, no, no. He is simply telling you, this is the key to walk free from anything that holds you down through unforgiveness. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Because you will also be just as free to the extent you set others free through forgiveness. That is why when a man or woman walks in unforgiveness, they are more tormented than the people they are not forgiving. Why? Because they live in greater pain, they live in greater damnation than the one that they are holding unforgiveness against. Give Jesus praise tonight. So when we talk about forgive, it's not a moral high bar, it's not a behavioral modification. No, no, no. We're simply telling you, release someone so that you yourself can be released. Because as much as you're tying them down, you're tying yourself down. So he gives us the key. This is how to walk free from every emotional entanglement by forgiving others so that you yourself can be forgiven. Give Jesus praise one more time. And I pray for you tonight. May you receive grace to function like this, with this key, in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear you loud and say amen. May you receive grace to walk in forgiveness in the name of Jesus. May you receive grace to walk in forgiveness in the name of Jesus. That was why when Peter came to him and asked him, Master, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive? He said, 70 times 7. And if you're still walking in unforgiveness with anyone, you must release that person. Because you're in greater bondage. You are in greater bondage. And there's no way you can function in this kingdom with unforgiveness. You cannot walk in liberty with unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. But Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Jesus never asked us to check what they did to you. He said, forgive 70 times 7. Amen. So Jesus is simply saying, this is the key to living free. Forgive that you may be forgiven. It is not moral. It is not a moral conduct. It is not a it's not a behavioral modification. It is a key. It is a key. So Jesus is the king. And understand that he is coming back to the earth again. Why? Because the kingdom, he came back to the earth again rather. Why? Because the kingdom was lost. Adam lost the kingdom. So the earth no longer thinks like heaven. The earth now thinks like the fallen man. And that is why you cannot fix your problem with earthly wisdom. You cannot fix your problem with three thinking. That is to say, with the wisdom that flows from the fallen man called Adam. You cannot fix your problem with the wisdom that flows from the tree of the knowledge of evil and good. You cannot fix your problem because the fallen man thinking is earthly. And such wisdom cannot sustain you or sustain a relationship with God. It cannot sustain even a relationship with each other. It cannot sustain your wisdom. Earthly wisdom, the wisdom of the fallen man cannot even sustain your marriage. It cannot sustain your relationship with anyone because it is a wisdom from the fallen man. But Pastor, why is it that we find people, you know, who are unbelievers, but they are rich without God? They don't need God. I've even heard pastors preach this. They don't need God to be rich, and they are rich and all of those things. Now, check it very well. They are crying and they are busy living a depressed life. Why? Because the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. If you want the riches that has no sorrow with it, and then it must come through the channel of the blessing of the Lord. If the riches a man has is not through the channel of the blessing of the Lord, can I tell you this? Can I safely submit to you? It will come with sorrow. It will come with sorrow. It will come with sorrow. You know, someone says, you know, I'd rather cry in a Bentley than to cry. My friend, you don't want to cry in a Bentley. Because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord. And there is no sorrow to it. I pray for you. May you not have any blessing that will bring pain in the name of Jesus. Whatever God gives to you, it will come without sorrow in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. They are crying, they are depressed. Why? Because if the riches a man has is not through the channel of the blessing, it will come with sorrow associated with it. So the man who doesn't know Jesus gets rich, he has tears and sorrow accompanying it. Then the man who knows Jesus gets the same thing, but with no tears and sorrow. I was looking at a documentary yesterday. You know, of a crime that happened in Santa. Now this man, you know, he was involved in all kinds of tender and all of those things. How he was brutally murdered in his Bentley. In Santa, brutally murdered. They didn't take 1 cent. You know, when people get such wealth, they look over their shoulders. But when the breaches comes through the blessing, he that keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. Because except the Lord builds the city, the watchman is wasting his time. Or the builders are wasting their time, right? Except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen are watching in vain. Brutal, bro, they didn't kill him in the night. They killed him in the midst of the traffic. There was heavy traffic. If you have been to Joburg, you know how heavy the traffic in Sandton can be. They murdered him in the place. They did it. It was not a secret killing. Left his lifeless body with all the millions of rands he has collected in his boots. So we hear people say, you know, but unbelievers are making it without God. Are you with them? Do you know the sorrow they go through? Do you know the pain they go? Do you know that some of them can't even sleep at night? But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it comes with no sorrow. I pray for you today. I declare you are blessed in the name of Jesus. I say you are blessed in the name of Jesus. Give Jesus your highest praise tonight. So if you want the riches that has no sorrow, it must come through the channel of the blessing. So let's look at something quickly. In Job chapter 38, verse 33 to 35, Job began to give us an analogy on how powerful words are. He said in that scripture, he said, you must understand the ordinances of heaven and how by your understanding of it, you can use it to set dominion on the earth. That is to say, it is possible to speak to the clouds, he began to explain to us in that scripture, and cause rain to come down to the earth. It is possible to speak to the cloud and cause rain to come down to the earth. He began to share with us that. So Job, understand that when he was declaring or sharing this analogy, he didn't have a Bible like you and I. But he knew that if he can send his voice to the heavens and make it say something heavenly, that the world he can't see will make it rain on the world he can see. That is to say, he can change the world he can see by sending words to heaven or sending heavenly words that compels the unseen realm to bring forth manifestation in the seen. That is to say, if you are sick, if you speak healing forth with your mouth, you will cause it to rain healing on that sickness that attacked your body. Also, if you are impoverished and you speak blessing, you can cause it to rain blessing on your impoverished situation. So, in other words, the power of your mouth can cause it to rain whatever you speak forth. The power of your mouth or words from your mouth can cause it to rain. So here is Job, who lost everything in his life and also have incurable disease on his body. A lot was going on in the life of Job. When you study the book of Job very well, when you study chapter 1, you will see that God called Satan into accountability. He called Satan into accountability. He asked him, "Where have you been?" Satan said, "I've been going to and fro." Now, the word "to and fro," listen carefully, it means I've been gathering information. The word "to and fro" means, when God confronted said, that word "to and fro" means I have been gathering information. I've been gathering information. So the Bible says Satan goes to and fro seeking for whom to devour. He gathers information. He is gathering information about your life so that he can use it to accuse you. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion. He's going to and fro, looking for who to. So, gathering information, gathering your mistakes, gathering your misdeeds, gathering your disobedience, gathering everything that he can accuse you with, so that when you appear before God, remember, he still appears in the presence of God, because when the sons of God gathered, Satan appeared also. He appeared also with the information he has gathered. He appears also. So whenever you are praying, based on the information Satan has gathered, he comes, stands in the presence of God, and accuses you of everything you have done wrong based on his accusation. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you as well. Because I ask myself, why is it that Jesus had to stay at the right hand of the Father? The Holy Ghost showed me that scripture. He said the reason he has to say to make intercession is because the accuser of the brethren accuses the believer daily. So I need an intercessor that will stand at my right hand. So when the devil comes to accuse you, he says, paid for. When the devil comes to tell you, the Bible says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. He's also interceding for us. When Satan accuses you before God, Jesus intercedes for you before God. He says, that has been paid for by my blood. So God doesn't look at the accusation any longer. He looks at you based on the price that Jesus has paid.
No one could have been qualified to sit at the right hand of God and make intercession for us. Why? Because no one has a sinless blood. No one poured out his blood. The one who poured out his blood is the one who has the power to sit at the right hand of God. So when the accuser accuses you, he says, paid for. When he says he walked in disobedience, he says paid for. When he says he is not righteous enough to qualify for the blessing, he says paid for. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is perfect for time and for eternity. The blood is perfect for your past sins, present sins, and future sins. When the enemy accuses you, the blood speaks better things than that of righteous Abel. Give the Lord your praise tonight. That is why no accusation of the enemy has been sticking on you. Who is he that can accuse the elect of the Lord? No one. Why? Because the intercessor Jesus intercedes for the believer. Can I tell you this? Your glory days are here. I didn't hear your amen. I say your glory days are here. I say your glory days are here. I say your glory days are here. Give Jesus your highest praise if you believe it. So God looks at you through the eyes of his son, Jesus Christ, because you have been covered in the blood. And he will cast the accuser away and his accusations. The judgment will always go in your favor. Why? You are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. No accusation can stick on you because you have been forgiven. You know, Romans 8 tells us, what can separate us from the love of God? Do you know why nothing can separate you? It's not because of you. It's the blood. Because God cannot be separated from the blood. The blood was perfect for time and for eternity. He entered once and for all and has tendered it as an eternal sacrifice before the Ancient of Days. That is why nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Is it tribulation? Is it nothing? Is it accusation? Nothing. Is it the devil? Nothing. Listen, if the blood has not been speaking, so many of you will have been deleted by now, including me standing here. Give Jesus your praise tonight. So before Jesus came into his earthly ministry, look at this quickly. Before he came into his earthly ministry at the age of 30, John the Baptist, who was his cousin, was his forerunner. He went about teaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Now, the word repent simply means, you know, change your mind or change your thinking. Now, the word re, because repent is formed, made of two words, re and pent. The word re means again. And the word pent has two meanings. Number one, it means five. The number five is the number of grace. It is also the number for rule and the government and the dominion of God. It's also the number for the rule and the government and the dominion of God. Now, when you study the book of 1 Samuel very well, when David had to confront Goliath, he picked up five smooth stones. He only used one, but he picked up five stones. Why? Because you cannot confront Goliath without the grace of God. You cannot confront Goliath and overcome Goliath without the grace of God. You can also confront Goliath and overcome Goliath without the government and the rule and the dominion of God. There is no how you can confront Goliath and overcome Goliath without the grace of God, without the government of God, without the rule and the dominion of God. The number five also represents, you know, the fivefold ministry, which also represents the government of God in the Gospels. So, in order for John the Baptist, in other words, rather, John the Baptist was simply saying, when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was simply saying, we are on the way to having God's rule over our lives, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the word pent means highest place. So when John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, what he's simply saying is, go back to the highest place where you have been initially called to live, because the kingdom is at hand. That is to say, the way God intended it is coming back to us through Jesus Christ. So if you change your thinking, then you can go back to the highest place. If you change your thinking, because the word re means again, when you change your thinking, then it means you can go back to the highest place. You can go back to the place where God rules your life. But the key word there is you have to change your mind so that you can be able to achieve going back to the highest place where God initially called you to live. So to bring heaven on earth, you have to understand how the kingdom works. Let me show you something and we give God praise tonight and go home. Ezekiel 37. To give God praise, to live the kingdom life rather, you have to understand how the kingdom works. Or to function heaven on earth, you have to understand how the kingdom works. So when John was telling us repent, he was simply, for us to do that, there must be a change of mind. And that is why Paul comes to the book of Romans and tells us that we must renew our mind, change your mind. Because it is possible for you to be in the kingdom, your mind is not changed, and you don't look like the kingdom you belong to. It's possible. It's possible to be in the kingdom. That is why you see many believers, they are in the kingdom, but they don't look like the kingdom. Is it that the kingdom has not, God has not given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in the kingdom. He has given, but if you do not change your mind, you cannot function the kingdom on the earth. So that is why mind renewal is necessary. We gather you for service, we hold conferences, pay premium price to bring guest speakers, go out of our way, make sacrifices, deny ourselves, don't eat, make sure that we can bring choice servants of God who can come to enable you change your mind so that you can walk in the dominion that God has designed for you. You don't change your mind by prayer. You change your mind by receiving the word of life that transmogrifies your thinking so that you can think the way God originally designs for you to function. That is why the Bible says, through the preaching of the gospel, the righteous shall be delivered. When a man doesn't understand the kingdom, if you like, lay hands and command every demon to come out, they will not come out. Even if they come out, they will just go to where one is and wait. When you finish shouting, come on, 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 they just stay there and wait. When you turn your back, they say, hey, when I come back here, they jump inside again. Why? Because through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So God says, John the Baptist said, repent, change your mind, because you cannot function the way God initially called you to live if you do not change your mind. Therefore, I pray for you. Whatever it is that tampers with your mind, that forces you not to agree with what God has said, tonight I delete it in the name of Jesus. As I cancel it in the name of Jesus. So the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 37, listen to this, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel speaking, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. So this situation was so bad, and so horrible, and so, desperate, God had to invite Ezekiel to come and see. He said, come. He carried me, if you see there, he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me. So God was the one who carried him. Ezekiel didn't go there. God carried him and said, come and see how, desperate the situation is. And God wanted him to see it. Now verse 2 now says, and caused me to pass by. He now caused me to pass by them. Run. So God took him on an excursion, on a journey, and said, now let's walk around it. He caused me to pass by. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. They were very dry. The word very dry there means without recovery. The word very dry there, it means without recovery. So God took him, brought him in, and took him on a journey to walk around that situation. How many have ever gone through certain things in life? And you think to yourself, there is no way I'm coming back from this. Ezekiel looked at this and said, no, there is no way. This is very dry. There is no room for recovery here. God, no. There's no room for recovery. Have you been, maybe you're going through probably a situation right now. You're looking at yourself and say, there is no room for recovery. I came with good news tonight. The God of heaven will change that story in the name of Jesus. I said the God of heaven will change that story in the name of Jesus. Now, look at what God said to him. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh Lord, thou knowest. He said to God, you are the only one who knows this. In other words, if the bones are going to leave, God, it is going to be your responsibility, not my responsibility. Then God said to him, you prophesy, but I will tell you what to say. These 3 days you must prophesy. You don't just prophesy with prayers. You don't just prophesy with the word. You prophesy with your dancing. He said, I will tell you what to say. Because I'm not going to allow you say anything that is in your mind. Because based on what you have seen, your heart has already fainted. But I will tell you what to say. Are you ready to say what God wants you to say in this season? I said, are you ready to say what God wants you to say in this season? Understand that angels, the Bible tells us, hearken to the voice of the word of God. So the word of God has his own sound. Angels don't hearken to your voice. They hearken to you speaking God's word. And when you release God's word from your mouth, you take those words and cause a performance in your life. I declare again over you tonight, that situation that looks like you cannot recover from, I prophesy, after these 3 days, you will recover with a testimony in the name of Jesus. I say you shall recover with a testimony in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise tonight. And God said to him, don't just talk to the dry bones. Say what I tell you to say. Let's read further, verse 4 to 7 quickly. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. You shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. There will be a noise tonight in the name of Jesus. There shall be a noise tonight in the name of Jesus. It looks like nothing has been happening around you. After tonight, in the next 24 hours, you shall hear a noise in the name of Jesus. You shall hear a noise in the name of Jesus. I say, there shall be a coming together of the bones in the name of Jesus. That is to say, Ezekiel, don't say what you have seen. Ezekiel, say what I am commanding you to say. Because Ezekiel was overwhelmed. Ezekiel was overpowered. He looked at the situation. It was too dry. But when God told him, I don't want you to speak based on the knowledge you have of the situation. You know that the business is going down. Don't speak based on that knowledge. You know that the marriage is falling apart. Don't speak based on that knowledge, but speak based on the knowledge of the word of God. So mightily grew the word, and he prevailed, and he sent forth his word. His word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. I send the word of God over your life. I command that marriage be healed in the name of Jesus. Career be healed in the name of Jesus. Business be healed in the name of Jesus. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return back to me void. It will accomplish and achieve the purpose for which it was sent out for. I declare your days of sickness are over in the name of Jesus. Your days of shame are over in the name of Jesus. Your days of being broke, lacking and having nothing, they are over in the name of Jesus. Be restored in the name of Jesus. Be lifted in the name of Jesus. Rise in the name of Jesus. Go forward in the name of Jesus. Give me 3 powerful amen. 2, 3. Give the Lord your highest praise. God told him what to say. Even though it didn't make sense, he said it anyway. Because I'm not going to speak because it makes sense. I'm going to speak because God says so. Child of God, understand. Things have ears. Jesus spoke to the sea. The sea heard him. He spoke to the storm heard him. Jesus spoke to food, the food kept multiplying until he fed 5,000 men, excluding women and children. He spoke to the fig tree, the tree dried up from the roots because trees have ears. He spoke to fever in the life of Peter's mother-in-law. Fever left the woman because fever has ears. He spoke to the dead carcass of Lazarus, and the dead carcass of Lazarus came back to life, even though it was already smelling in the grave. No matter how smelly your situation is, you are returning back to life. I say you're coming back to life. Your situation may be smelling. Neighbors are perceiving it. Your friends are perceiving it. Everybody looks at you and they say, this is very dry. I came to announce there is a God of resurrection. There is a God that resurrects things. He, tonight I declare, he resurrects you in the name of Jesus. He spoke. He spoke to dead bodies. Dead bodies walk away. Dead bodies have ears. Just because you cannot see physical ears hanging on that situation doesn't mean the situation will not listen. Whatever you speak to, they may not hear your voice, but they will hear the word of the Lord that has come through your mouth. Hallelujah. I close you with this last scripture. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind. Say to the wind. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. They lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. When he prophesied to the wind came. After he came, he said to him, keep prophesying. Don't keep quiet. Speak to the bones. Probably Ezekiel prophesied and the bone came together. He stopped. He said, no. Speak to the flesh. Speak to the skin. Keep prophesying until everything comes together. Don't stop when the wind comes. Prophesy again to breath to enter the dead body. Child of God, this teaches you and I. Don't stop talking. Keep talking all it until it all comes together. Don't stop talking. He says, speak to the wind. Speak to the bones. Speak to the flesh. Speak to the sinews. I hope you know sinews is what is, I think, is inside the bone. Speak to it to come back. Speak to the flesh. Because when he spoke, the bones came. If the bones only came, there would not have been a great army. Every bone requires a flesh. Every bone requires breath. Every bone requires sinews. Are you understanding me tonight? Because sometimes you start speaking, things start opening up a bit. The challenge is some of you go and relax. That's why you stop waking up for morning prayers, because you saw ordinary 10,222 runs. You have arrived. You have arrived. And yet God is saying there is a great army that must arise. You keep speaking until you see a great army. If there is no great army, it means you must not stop speaking. So I kept prophesying. Preach to the bones so that structure comes into place. Then preach to the flesh so that skin comes into it. Prophesy until it start breaking into, until breath comes into them again. Don't stop talking until everything is fixed. Don't stop talking until that business is fixed. Don't stop talking. When you sign the contract, don't stop talking and go and sit down and say, well, I've signed the contract. Everything is done and dusted. It can be revoked. My friend, it can be revoked. Don't stop talking. Don't stop talking. Actually, when you sign it, that is when you should talk some more. That is when you should raise your voice and speak some more. Because you also, last week, God teaching us through his servant that every time there is a proceeding word from God, the devil follows as well. So when the contract is signed, the devil is not keeping quiet. He is following as well, finding a way to interfere, for a great and effectual door is open unto me. But there are adversaries. Adversaries are not afraid of your open doors, because they know one mistake from you, they can close it. God said to Ezekiel, keep speaking. Don't stop, keep speaking. And he kept speaking until a great army. Ayana Marada, I don't know who you are. Get ready. A great army will imagine your destiny in the name of Jesus. A great army will emerge in the name of Jesus. God told him what to say. Can we rise on our feet as we give God praise? But it was Ezekiel who needed to speak, because his tongue is the power of life. In his tongue, rather, is the power of life and death. God didn't say it on his behalf. You are the one that must speak. Not your neighbor. Tell them you are the one that must speak. Look at them, not them again. Tell them you are the one that must speak. You know this thing of, you know, God knows the prayer in my heart. My friend, you will die. You. Then he will not keep you for free. You know, why is it that in your church you pray so loud? God knows the prayer. Didn't he say that before you ask, I already know? Then the same thing, he's now saying, ask. Before you ask, I know. But still ask, so that it can be given to you. He said, knock, so that the door can be open. Seek, so that you can find. Listen of gentility. You know, God knows, you know. You would die of heart attack. You're not saying anything. He told Ezekiel, open your mouth and say something. Ezekiel, speak. That is how the kingdom functions. God created words, not for conversation, but for creation. And God said, and he saw. And God said, and he saw. If you don't speak over that child, the enemy will speak over that child. If you're not saying, somebody is saying. The Bible says, you know, the earth uttereth speech. Day unto day uttereth speech. The night revealeth knowledge. You don't speak, someone else will speak. Business is falling apart. You're not saying anything. You wake up and you say, God knows. No, God doesn't know. That's what Ezekiel said. Ezekiel said to God, thou knowest. God said, no, Ezekiel, stop it. Don't shift the responsibility to me. I have given you the earth. Remember what I said. The scripture says, the earth he has given to the sons of men. Not the world, because the world is different from the earth. The world is the systems that unbelievers have created to govern the earth. But the earth still belongs to us. Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was commanded. And that word, I prophesied as I was commanded, simply means I submitted to God, because there was nothing in me that looked at the bones that ever thought the bones can ever be an army. I gave you that. I prophesied as I was commanded. Let me close you with that. Ezekiel said, so I prophesied. That should be verse 10 or verse 9. As he commanded me. That word, I prophesied as I was commanded, it means I submitted to God, because there was nothing in me that looked at the bones that ever thought the bones can ever be an army. I looked at the bones. Nothing in me thought the bones can be an army. So I prophesied as I was commanded. You're going to prophesy with your thanksgiving. Is worship, word, and warfare. Lift your voice in thanksgiving.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.